Today, the sticky inflation problem will bite hard. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where that is posts covering finance and property news. Well, US Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell has confirmed fears that interest rate cuts in the US would be later rather than sooner, as inflation remains stubbornly high. If that price pressure persists, the Fed can keep rates steady for, quote, as long as needed, Powell said. And this came after US retail figures for March came in much stronger than expected, stoking speculation that rates would stay higher for longer again. All this continues to drive the US dollar firmer against other currencies and also lift bond yields, all linked to the sticky inflation story. And stronger oil prices, of course, are not helping. While markets are not fully priced for a rate cut from the RBA this year, investors expect 3 0.25 percentage point rate cuts in the Eurozone and 2 cuts in the US by the Federal Reserve. Now, they could all be very disappointed. All of this has consequences, of course. For this first time since 2022, inflation, as measured by the official figures, were higher in the US than the UK. Then this despite UK inflation slowing less than expected last month as fuel prices crept higher. Consumer prices rose 3.2% in March compared with a year earlier. That's down from 3.4% in February, according to the Office for National Statistics, who released figures on Wednesday. And while it was the lowest since September 2021, it was still well above the 3.1% that the Bank of England and private sector economists had expected. The ONS said food prices rose less than a year ago, putting downward pressure on inflation, but this was partially offset by an increase in the cost of motor fuel. But core inflation, which excludes energy, food, alcohol and tobacco, fell to 4.2% last month from 4.5%, and that was also stronger than economists had expected. And meanwhile, inflation in the services sector, which of course is watched by the Bank of England for indications of domestically driven price pressures, eased to 6% from 6.1%, but the Bank of England and economists had expected a decline to 5.8%. The figures underscored market uncertainty about when the Bank of England policymakers, led by Governor Andrew Bailey, would be able to ease off on the highest interest rates in 16 years. Traders in the UK significantly paired bets on interest rate cuts from the Bank of England and moved in favour of just 0.25% reduction this year. Swaps fully priced in a cut by November and briefly paired the chance of a second move to just around 30% before indicating an additional cut is, well, 50-50. That's a sharp change from just a few weeks ago when 3 cuts were expected. The pound gained as much as 0.4% to $1.2479, reversing earlier losses after the data and snapping 3 days of declines. And the yield on 2-year gilts, perhaps the bonds most sensitive to policy changes, rose as much as 6 basis points to 4.53%, and that's the highest since February. Now, speaking at the International Monetary Fund in Washington on Tuesday night, Bailey said there was a divergence between the US economy and those in Europe, which is a hint that the Bank of England might be able to ease policy before the Fed, but Wednesday's figures were a reminder of his previous warnings that it may take some time to ensure inflationary forces are suppressed. And recent UK data on wages growing at around 6% suggests the Bank of England will have little room to move on rate cuts anytime soon. And down under, the IMF forecast the Australian economy will expand by just 1.5% in 2024 on a calendar average basis. Outside of the pandemic, that would be the slowest rate of expansion since the early 1990s recession and comes despite the growth impetus from surging migration. That forecast, by the way, is in line with the Reserve Bank of Australia's most recent economic projections and little change from the IMF's last data in January. Growth is forecast to recover to 2% in 2025, but that would still be weak by historical standards. And New Zealand got a shock today, too, as Stats New Zealand initially put out an incorrect headline inflation number on Wednesday when disseminating the first quarter inflation data. New Zealand dollar fell by as much as 0.3% after initial reports, which indicated annual inflation was less than market expectations. The currency subsequently recovered, though, when the error was corrected. The issue was caused by human error, and Stats New Zealand is reviewing its process to ensure it doesn't happen again. Today's report showed annual inflation eased to 4% from 4.7%, which matched economists' expectations. But a gauge of domestic inflation pressures exceeded forecasts, and investors have reduced bets on how quickly the central bank there will cut interest rates this year. Annual inflation eased to 4% from 4.7% in the fourth quarter, according to Stats New Zealand. That's the lowest reading since the second quarter of 2021, and that matched the economists' expectations. But non-tradable inflation, that's a closely watched indicator of domestic price pressures, barely slowed to 5.8%. The central bank's tight monetary policy tipped the economy into a double-dip recession last year. Policymakers are reluctant to entertain cutting the official cash rate until they're sure inflation will return to their 1% to 3% band. And the Reserve Bank expects inflation to slow to 3.8%, and the non-tradables measures would gain 5.3%, so they were a bit off. Measures of core inflation were also mixed, with today's data showing that consumer prices, excluding food, fuel and energy, rose 4.1% from a year earlier, matching the pace in the fourth quarter, while the 30% trimmed mean measure rose 4.5% from a year earlier, slowing from 5%. And the Reserve Bank of New Zealand's own core inflation gauge, which is sectorial factor model inflation, slowed to 4.3%, which was the weakest since late 2021, the central bank said. Now, while the Reserve Bank of New Zealand is projecting inflation will fall below 3% in the third quarter this year, policymakers have also said that they are concerned that core inflation is sticky and that mindful that inflationary expectations could rise, driven by components they have little control over, such as local government land taxes, insurance costs, and rents. So now back to that IMF press conference. Though a soft landing for the global economy does remain the IMF's base case, IMF economic counsellor Pierre-Olivier Gerinchas said there was still some way to go on the journey back to low inflation. Inflation in the labour-intensive services sector remains stubbornly high, the IMF said, and price pressures could intensify due to rising oil prices and the prospect of future trade restrictions on Chinese exports. Growth in the global economy is forecast to hold steady at 3.2% in both 2024 and 2025, with a large near-term upward revision in US activity offsetting declines in other areas. And Professor Gerinchas warned medium-term global growth prospects were harmed by the trend towards trade restrictions and industrial policy. Trade linkages are already changing as a result, with potential losses in efficiency. Net effect could well be to make the global economy less, not more, resilient. But the broader damage is to global cooperation, and there is still time to reverse course, he said. Now, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, of course, announced last week that he'd introduced into Parliament a Future Made in Australia Act to try to compete with America's Inflation Reduction Act and similar schemes adopted by nations such as Korea, Japan, Canada and the European Zone. Former Reserve Bank Governor Bernie Fraser warned on Monday that Labour's pivot to industrial policy was likely to waste taxpayers' money, while Productivity Commissioner Chair Daniel Wood has said that it would entrench subsidy-dependent industries. And very importantly, the IMF also warned that a disconnect between financial market sentiment and economic fundamentals posed a threat to both its growth projections and the financial markets. In their latest Outlook report, they warned that re-accelerating inflation could force investors to dump rate cut bets and cause a widespread sell-off in global asset markets. Asset price volatility has fallen markedly despite measures of economic uncertainty reaching elevated levels, the IMF said in its half-yearly global financial stability review. IMF financial counsellor Tobias Adrian warned that the downward trend in inflation may have stalled in some countries, while geopolitical tensions that disrupt supply chains and energy markets could cause inflation to accelerate. Mr. Adrian said that an adverse shock, such as further high inflation prints, could cause investors to drastically scale back their expectations for rate cuts and send volatility soaring. If inflation remains high, such lofty expectations could topple, which could lead to a correlated sell-off of assets from bonds to stocks to crypto assets, Mr. Adrian said. Under the scenario, financial conditions would broadly tighten. Most immediately, some investors could face losses on assets they hold, especially leveraged investors whose negative returns would be magnified. And Australians appear exceptionally exposed. The IMF said that a sharp rise in mortgage payments will weigh on household spending and growth this year in Australia. The IMF found that Australian households were more sensitive to changes in interest rates than virtually any other consumers globally because of the dominance of variable rate mortgages. As a result, Australian households devote about $1 in every $5 of income to repaying home loans, including principal. Only Norwegian households have a higher debt servicing ratio. And the burden of high interest rates has forced households to eat into their savings, and excess savings accumulated by Australians during the pandemic have declined to about 3.5% of GDP from a peak of around 11%, the IMF found. But high interest rates have done little to rein in house prices growth, with inflation-adjusted Australian property prices now 10% higher than they were before the pandemic, with only the US, the UAE, and Japan recording stronger growth. But the takeaway from all of this is that the inflation dragon has not been slain. Inflation is likely to remain sticky, which means that interest rates will be higher for longer. And not only will that then question the value of stocks and shares and maybe even crypto assets, but also the future trajectory of rate cuts. Rate cuts will not be coming soon. And I have a feeling that Australians who are expecting immediate relief this year will be very disappointed, because sticky inflation is now here to stay. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.